afternoon, everyone. My name's Martin Wrigley. I'm the project specification manager for Rockwool for the North. I'm going to look today at fire safety of buildings above 18 metres. Just run through a bit of the contents of this CP. It lasts about 35, 40 minutes. So we'll do a quick introduction on Rockwool. Probably the majority of you are already aware of Rockwool. Been around since 1927. Do a bit of a background in respect of the regulations, BR135, BS8414, both Part 1 and Part 2. We'll have a look at all the stakeholders as well, so that when I talk about all the stakeholders, I'm talking about Allianz, I'm talking about Aviva, insurance companies basically, so they're obviously getting quite vociferous in respect of what's happened with Grenfell recently. We'll look at compliance without compromise as well, and finally, stone wool rain screen cladding systems. So hopefully the learning aims, what you'll take away is to understand how fire can spread easily within rain screen cladding systems, facade systems. Bit of history behind the creation of BR135. Look at the fire classifications of different insulants. So we're talking about the Euroclass fire rating, so A1, being obviously the best performing, right down to F, where you'd find your expanded extruded polystyrene. Understand the various routes to compliance when considering fire safe design of external rain screen facades. Ensure and risk management requirements, and then finally learn about the systems and solutions to mitigate the risk without actually compromising on the design. So as I said, the Rockwool Group, still family owned to this day, Carla family. It's a Danish company established in 1927. We've got approximately 10,500 employees worldwide. In 2015, we turned over just over 2.2 billion euros, and we're operational within 37 countries. And you can see the breakdown there in respect of employees by region. North America, 21.4. We're starting to commission another plant over in China, where we're starting to see a demand for Rockwool products, and probably fair to say our presence is well felt there over in Europe as well. So here in the UK, we actually produce the products out of Bridgend in South Wales. We've been operational there since 1979. Just over 450 employees within the UK operation. We have a sales and marketing office over in Chiswick, over in London. And the plant was expanded in 2009. We've probably got, what's fair to say, the most up-to-date manufacturing facility within the Rockwool Group. We produce a product called Rain Screen Duo, and the Duo actually denotes dual density. And the benefit of that in respect of the product is the inner section of the Rockwool insulation is a less dense than the actual main body of the insulation. And what that helps to assist, especially on masonry substrates, is any standoff. So it's going to absorb any undulations from a masonry substrate. So it's going to reduce cold bridging effects. Now, what we do, and surprisingly, a lot of architect specifiers for some reason still think Rockwool's made out of glass bottles. It isn't. It is actually a giveaway in the name. It's actually made out of rock. It's basaltic rock or igneous rock, fast flowing rock. We bring it in from just outside the Giant's Causeway. Obviously the Giant's Causeway is protected. So we excavate it, we mine it out of that region. We bring it on a boat to Cardiff, to the docks at Cardiff, and then from Cardiff up the M4 to Pencoed in South Wales, Bridgend. So if we have a look at the background, would anyone like to add as a guess as to where the figure 18 comes from, 18 metres? Anyone? No? Don't be shy, sorry.
Height of a ladder.
Correct, yeah, it's actually deemed the safest height for a firefighter to tackle a fire. 18 metres refers from floor level up to parapet. Now, if, for example, you've got a lift station which exceeds, or service station above, on the roof, which then takes that above 18 metres, then that obviously is classed as uninhabitable, so obviously it's then in effect below 18 metres. But anything above 18 metres, obviously we've obviously got to consider various insulation, what's going in there, whether it's combustible, non-combustible. Obviously we've got to look at the notional boundary of buildings within a metre distance. We've also got to obviously consider the access for firefighters, because when you're in a building fire, of course, you cannot use the escalators, you cannot use the lifts. And when you look at this building here, the Kingdom Tower, which is going to be commissioned, coming on board in 2019, that's going to be 167 stories tall. So how on earth you go about tackling that? Pleased to know there's no ACM panel on there, because of course we've seen the effects of ACM panel with the Torch Tower over in Dubai as recent as this month. But what they have done over in Dubai, they've invested best part of £4 million to purchase this product here, and there we go. That's what they're actually looking at strapping first responders into to tackle these high-rise fires. It's got a safe distance or height of 3,000 metres, and it's got a flying time of around about 40 to 50 minutes. They're looking at using that so that they can strap the firefighters, first responders into those jet packs, so they can go up there with the thermal imaging cameras and obviously detect the seat of the fire, etc. You'll also be interested to know that it's actually powered by kerosene, which obviously drowns your airplanes. Yes, brave man whoever wants to strap themselves into that. But it isn't, it's no joke, I can assure you. If you want to Google that, Dubai 20 jet packs, and you can read that article for yourself when you're back home. So, fire triangle, it was touched on earlier. I think we'll batter that one to death. Obviously, you need three elements: fuel, heat, oxygen. 16% oxygen is all that's required. Ambient oxygen is usually around about 21%. Eliminate any one of those elements that you see there, and obviously, you're going to extinguish the fire. Now, what we have done as a company, Rockwall, we've worked in conjunction with Chilton, Exabot, or previously Warrington. And what we've proven is that you actually only need a minimum of a 25mm residual cavity for that chimney effect, as you see there. Talked about Grenfell there, and a picture was obviously shown in respect of Grenfell, which Chris displayed there, coming off Studio E's website, which surprisingly, they took down more or less as a story at the news. But one of the pictures Chris showed actually showed horizontal fire barriers, fire breaks, and as Chris rightly pointed out, there was gaps. What the astute amongst you might have noticed, though, is that these fire barriers were fixed back to the insulation, not the substrate. So, very poor workmanship. Because obviously, no need to explain to you what's going to happen there. It will not be fixed back to the substrate. It's useless, basically. So, we've demonstrated 25mm residual cavity is all that's needed to see what's going to happen there. Unfortunately, a lot of these social... high-rise buildings, obviously, they're not able to afford brand-new washing machines, brand-new tumble dryers, they're going to be, 10-plus years old, and hence the reason why you've got the likes of Whirlpool, Hot Point, obviously wanting to draw in and send out these notices to customers, because they're pretty concerned, as you can well imagine, because there's a bit of a running theme here in respect to fridges, in respect of tumble dryers, washing machines being the seat of fires. So, building regulations, they all make reference to the requirements of the safe design of the building. The fire, as you can see quite easily there, will spread quite rapidly, especially a typical example, again, Grenfell, hot summer's night, windows left open, so you're going to have the curtains flapping away there, wooden Venetian blinds, obviously, again, these are elements which will obviously add fuel to the fire. And obviously there's an increased risk during construction, in particular timber frame. See a lot of fires up in Scotland, timber frame construction products, obviously contributing to the fire. So, BR135, what is BR135? Well, it basically is a fire performance of external thermal insulation for walls of multi-storey buildings. First came about in 1988. Surprisingly, it came about just 1 month after Class O. So Class O has been around since 1988, it was then revamped 10 years later. Class O being obviously the surface spread of flame, and it still surprises me to this day as to how many specifications I see where it has to be Class O. So in effect, you could take a stick of trinitrate, wrap it in a Class O foil, and you've got yourself a Class O product. And I think it was mentioned earlier on in with regards to the seat. in the nightclub in Dublin. So you tear through that plasto foil like you would with a seat, and then you're left exposed with a flammable product. That, in effect, is what happened with Grenfell and the RS5000. So you've got a polyisocyanurate, so you've got polyisocyanurate, polyurethane. PIR, obviously, is a oil-based product. It's flammable once you get through that plasto foil surface. So at this time, when this document came about, there was actually no full-scale fire test available. So what you used to do is pitch up to the lab with your sample and offer it up for testing. There was no full-scale rig fire testing at that time. There was a number of fires, two in particular, Knowsley Heights, which thankfully nobody lost there at the life. And we had another one, Garnetcourt Irvine in Scotland, in 1999, where unfortunately there was a life lost. Now, the second edition of BR135 came around in 2003, and this was accompanied by full-scale fire testing. And what that basically involves is a 10-metre rig, as you see here. You've got a timber crib, which sits there at the bottom. The fire load is for 60 minutes. The timber crib is left to burn for 30 minutes, then extinguished. Everything above that timber crib, that point there, is then left to burn. What they're trying to emulate is firefighters coming along, tackling the fire at ground level, and then obviously working the way up. That is what they're trying to emulate in respect of this full-scale fire test. Part one is for masonry substrates, and this was the only test at that time. Until a few, a few months later, we ended up with part two, which is SFS steel frame. And the majority of the specification you see coming through in respect of facades is based on an SFS. Still a few in respect of masonry substrate, but the majority are SFS. If any of you was watching the news a couple of days after Grenfell, you'd have probably seen this video. The BBC managed to rip it off YouTube and decided to show it, just demonstrating the current test. The current test that is out there in respect of insulation. 8414, the test only actually runs on insulation. It doesn't look at a component, an hybrid system. So, for example, what really we've been pushing for is to test the insulation along with something like a Renabond, so an ACM panel, a Leukabond, for example. 8414 doesn't actually call for that as we stand. But currently, Building Research Establishment BRIE, the test that they've been conducting of recent does involve a full complete through wall system, hence the reason why we're seeing these 100% failure rates, in particular on products such as Leukabond and Renabond. I'll show you this video. As I mentioned there, you've got the timber crib. So that timber crib's ignited. You've got these thermal couplings here, so it's detecting the heat given off. What we're looking for is smoke coming off these products. So you've got stone wool, you've got foam, and then you've got the polystyrene. This polystyrene does actually incorporate fire breaks. But just watch the video, and I'm sure you'll not be surprised on the outcome. Now you'll notice there's no clock there, so I'm just going to ask some of you just to hazard a guess as to how long you think it takes to get to the final stage for the intervention of the firefighter and the addition of the crib. You can see the smoke there coming off the polystyrene. You're going to get some binder break off coming off the rock wool and also the foam as well. So you can see the smoke coming off the phenolic foam and obviously the toxic smoke coming off the polystyrene. 60 to 66% roughly people will die from smoke inhalation in a fire, and they reckon a number of people obviously lost their lives through hydrogen cyanide inhalation at Grenfell, which is what your oil-based plastic foams are going to give off. Anyone like to hazard a guess as to from the time lapse from the ignition of the crib to what you see there?
60 seconds?
Quite, not far off.
48 seconds?
No, it was just over 2 minutes. Mm. Just over 2 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. Before that, before you see the actual intervention there of the firefighter. And surprisingly, we did use to wrap our buildings in foam, in expanded and extruded polystyrene. Sorry. No doubt we'll be sat here in another 20 years saying, yeah, we used to wrap our buildings in foam as well. But thankfully, we tend not to wrap buildings in extruded and expanded polystyrene anymore. So the 8414 test, as I mentioned, there's two parts to that. So part one is solid substrate. Part two is steel frame. And the test methodology, as I mentioned, is trying to obviously reenact real life and extinguishing the bottom of the crib first. So that was left to burn, as I said, for 30 minutes, then extinguished. And anything above that line is then left to burn. And obviously they've tested various different insulants out there on the market, because there's a number which you can look at from various manufacturers such as Celotex, Extra Firm. Kingspan tends to have been the go-to product. I say tends to have, because we've seen a lot of specifiers and architects moving away from these products. Kingspan used to offer what was known as a desktop study, which I'll talk about shortly. They've now withdrawn that service for obvious reasons. Again, I'll talk about shortly. But they tend not to offer the desktop service anymore. So the third edition of BR135, that came about in 2013, and what this tried to do was consolidate some of the information that's actually out there in the marketplace. You have the likes of NHBC, BCA, Building Control Alliance, who issued guidance note 18 back in June of 2014, and it was kind of like confusing the situation and muddying the waters, shall we say. So this edition tried to consolidate all that information that was out there, and also using the test methodology in respect to BS8414 Part 1 and Part 2. So if we look at fire safety compliance, so IRISE and the 18 metre rules, obviously you've got the building regulations, approved document B within England and Wales, you've got Section 2 technical handbook within Scotland, and then you've got the technical booklet Part E for Ireland. But what they all make reference to is the safe design of buildings, of IRISE buildings. They all make reference to that. And those requirements have actually been in place since 1991. So nothing new there. The external walls of the building shall adequately resist the spread of fire. I think that was mentioned before in one of Chris's slides. But again, it's surprising as to what we see specified as external insulation for external facades. So, the Building Control Alliance, as I say, in June 2014, they issued Guidance Note 18. And what this wanted to try and do was do away with some of the common misconceptions out there, in particular, surface spread of flame. So this is Class O, and as I said, this came about in 1988 originally, and then revamped 10 years later. Surface spread of flame classification doesn't infer any resistance to combustibility, so it's solely a measure of the spread of flame across the surface. But yet we see time and time again so many products on the market in respect of insulation stating Class O surface spread of flame in respect of its behaviour within fire. We then have the technical guidance 18, where it lists options 1 to 4. So option 1 is the use of materials of limited combustibility. So this is the Euroclass rating. So these ain't currently, as we sit, enforceable within the UK. So if we look at somewhere like Germany, it's fire first. So they always look at, obviously, reducing the risk of fire. Here, it's firmly driven. So we're all driving down to the bottom, seeing so many external facades where the U value needs to be, one most recent is 0.12, which is very onerous. So we've gone from 0.22 probably 18 months ago, which was the norm. We've gone down right down to 0.12. Again, it just seems to be firmly driven. As I said, over in the likes of Germany, it is fire first. So A1, non-combustible in England, Wales, Northern Ireland, non-combustible within Scotland. So what products fall within that brief? So stone wool, glass wool, foam glass. You tend not to get foam glass in this country. Stone wool, obviously, that's going to be rock wool. There's two manufacturers of stone wool. There's ourselves, rock wool. We predominantly, that's all we focus on, is stone, rock wool. And then you've got a company called Knauf. Knauf predominantly work on and obviously manufacture a lot of glass wool. They also dabble within the stone wool market as well. You've then got A2 or better, so that's limited combustibility. So my colleague there, Jenny, will talk about some of the products which fall within this band here. Again, non-combustible in Scotland, high density, high binder, or face stone glass wool. Then we're coming down to some of the other products, B. So S, as talked about there, smoke-free, droplets 2, Plasso, low risk, some phenolic foams. If you want to know where RS5000 fell into, in respect of what was wrapped around Grenfell Tower, that was a C. And I think some of the figures that were bound about in some of the trade journals was that the calorific value of that insulation wrapped around Grenfell was equivalent to 75,000 litres of unleaded petrol. So that's, as I said, don't quote me on that, that's just some of the figures which were being bounced around. But nonetheless, it falls within Class C on the Euroclass rating. So that's a medium risk. So that's phenolic, PIR, polyisocyanurate. You've then got D. So as we're coming down the scale, you can see here in respect of the high risk, PIR. And you saw in the BS8414 test, the expanded extruded polystyrene, as you no doubt would expect, F. Not classified, very high risk. So you won't want to be wrapping your buildings in that product, of course. I would hope not. Least line of resistance or passage of resistance in respect of building control, A1 and A2. The other option, option 2, is a complete proposed external cladding system that's been tested, a field of application. And what that basically means is undertaking a very similar test to an A414. The only problem is if you deviate within that test, so for example on the external facade, if you're going to test within the field application an envelope bracket, helping hand bracket, then you're going to install on site a Shackley bracket that becomes null and void. And unfortunately, the likes of, there's a number of companies, one of them being most recently Lakesmere and Carillion, who have had their fingers burned. It's cost them many thousands of pounds because that's exactly what they did. They did a field of application test using a Shackley bracket, and then on site they used a envelope bracket, and it basically makes that tester null and void. You're then getting into the realms of a desktop study, so we're looking anything from £500, anything up to £10,000 plus. That has to be undertaken by a qualified assessor, or UCAS accredited assessment body. So that would be like sort of Breed, Chiltern, etc. Anything from 2 up to 6 weeks to deliver. And then option 4, now for whatever reason, Building Control Alliance decided to throw this one into the mix. This is an holistic fire engineer approach, and you can see from there the type of professional people, bodies, which need to be able to undertake an holistic fire engineered approach. This is a very expensive route to go down. You're talking possibly £30,000 plus, a couple of reams of paper landing on your desk within, I would say, in the space of 10 to 15 weeks. Needless to say, I'm not aware of any projects, any contractors, which have gone down this route, option 4 of the Building Control Alliance. So fire safety compliance, we talked there about all the stakeholders. The likes of Allianz, Zurich in particular, are getting quite vocal in issuing statements. One recently issued as recently as June of this year, just after Grenfell. And you can understand why. That is the loss, the first half of 2009, £3.6 million a day. So they want to obviously mitigate a lot of this loss. 2009, I can tell you that figure has more or less trebled as to where we sit today. Failure to disclose accurate information. So very much like when you're insuring your car, if you're going to give the wrong engine size, and it's going to invalidate your insurance, very similar to buildings. If you're not going to give out the accurate information, then it's going to invalidate the insurance. There's one job in Manchester where I'm currently working on called Middlewood Locks. It's a £650 million project. Whitson Cox of the architectural practice over in Chesterfield. And Allianz is insuring, and turned around and said, well, you need to get that that form off the wall. We won't offer insurance, and in which case, you know, you're not going to get a mortgage for the for this PRS, this private rental scheme that they're currently building. So there's a lot. We're seeing quite a lot of that in the in post Grenfell days. Obviously, the fire risk is going to be increased with respect to the use of more combustible modern construction materials that are available out there in the marketplace. And a lot of these insurance companies are taking guidance from the likes of the LPC, the Loss Prevention Council Board. So they're using these types of bodies to give them guidance in respect of the types of products which should and shouldn't be installed within within buildings, not just facades. So as I mentioned, while this guidance is provided in these various forms, NHBC, for example, Durex Fuel Academy Design, HTM 0502, which relates to the fire safety within the National Health Service, it is only a guidance, but the likes of Allianz, Aviva, etc., they do read a lot into, obviously, the information that's given out by LPC, in particular the guide for the fire protection of buildings. And what the problem we're seeing as a manufacturer, when we come to obviously do a fire engineering judgment, we go to a lot of these modern buildings and they are all open space. So head of wall detail, that's fine when it comes to compartmentation, but when it's all open space, you swing open the door and then you've got a mass of space. You've got a lot of, obviously, materials, wood, paper, carpet even, which will obviously contribute to the fuel of the fire. It's very, very difficult for us to compartmentate. You've got to obviously look at edge of wall, soffit edge detail, head of wall detail, but it is getting more and more difficult to undertake compartmentation when it comes to undertaking fire engineering judgments within these modern buildings, these commercial buildings. This was a statement issued by Zurich in 2015, so as a guide, non-combustible insulation should be used. So that would be rock mineral fibre type, stone wool, slag wool, or man-made vitreous fibre. Man-made vitreous fibre is basically a technical term for glass wool. You would never use glass wool in an external facade. The reason for that is because of the density. Glass wool, the highest density that can be produced is around about 42 kilograms per cubic metre. We start off, rock wool produces anything from 24 kilograms per cubic metre right up to 200 kilograms per cubic metre. Typically, a rain screen product, density of that, depending on thickness, would be around about 135 kilograms per cubic metre. Will withstand the elements for up to 6 months, so it's not going to delaminate when it's exposed to the wind-driven rain. The other considerations is the RRFSO, so the Regulatory Reform Fire Safety Order. There's no actual regulatory requirement in respect of the approved document B, but what this enables, obviously, your building control and obviously your fire safety officers to come in after the building's been built. And we're seeing a lot of this now, especially in the likes of some of your major conurbations like Manchester, Liverpool. There's a number of buildings which have been condemned because the fire safety, the compartmentation isn't up to standard. There's a number of contractors who have been dragged back to the job some 4, 5, 10 years later, and they're having to undertake remedial works on the building, and obviously bring it up to some form of standard. Statement by our public affairs manager: 1 million more people on the planet every 5 days, so fire safety in your major conurbations is obviously more important than ever before. We would have thought, after Lackenhall, we would have seen a change to Part B. That was kicked into the long grass, never happened. Whether or not it will happen after Grenfell, you would hope so, because it certainly chucks up some confusion, especially when you look at the guidance in conjunction with Part B that's currently out there. So you would hope that there will be a change to Part B after what we've seen at Grenfell. So compliance without compromise. So fire resistance. So in respect of Rockwell, we actually take the coupler furnace back at Pencoyd. We take that up to a temperature of 1600 degrees Celsius. That's for a mixture of gas and also coke, which we typically bring in from either Italy or France to raise the temperature up to 1600 degrees Celsius. The rock wool, well, that will withstand temperatures exceeding 1000 degrees Celsius, usually 600 to 800 degrees Celsius. You're going to get what's known as flashover. Our product will withstand up to 1000 degrees Celsius. It's A1 non-combustible, so it's not going to give off any toxic smoke. It's going to reduce the risk to property and obviously the effects of smoke damage as well. The acoustic benefits, bit of an anomaly really when you're talking about external facades and the acoustic benefits of rain screen. Because of course your polyurethanes ain't going to offer any of that, but what rock wool will offer is an acoustic benefit. And it speaks volumes, the very fact that every Cineworld that is built, they will only ever specify rock wool insulation on the internal walls. Obviously you don't want to be hearing what's going on in screen one when you're sat in screen two. The other reason for that, of course, is because of its behaviour within fire. And we use masks. That's how we actually deaden the sound, the acoustic reverberation. Dimensional and thermal stability. So rock wool is thermally stable. What in effect we're doing is selling trapped air within the insulation. It's going to slow down that conduction, that convection process. Whereas what your foams are offering is a closed cell gas. So it's gas that they use to slow down that conduction, convection process. Problem is you're going to get leaching with the gases out of the product. You do get a slight decline in the thermal offering of rock wool over the years. And when I say over the years, I'm talking 70, 75 plus, which is what they reckon a building should last for, the lifetime of a building. But that said, the foam products, you're going to get leaching. So the gases are going to escape, which is going to dramatically affect that thermal conductivity of the product. The other thing to bear in mind as well, you're not getting any, it's not prone to warping or curling on site. Also, buildability and durability. It is impregnated with silicone during the manufacturing process, so it will resist water. It is guaranteed for 6 months exposure. The slab's put together as well quite neatly, so you're not going to get any of that thermal break. And as you can see there, slotting round the LPN brackets, there's none of that cutting like a dog's leg like you would get with foam products. And again, it's going to reduce that cold bridging effect. Sustainable materials. We do take our corporate social responsibility very seriously. We can take back 96% of rock wool product back to the factory, and that's really what won us projects like Royal Liverpool Hospital. The other 4% which we can't take back is fire barrier. It's encased in chicken wire. Although that will melt off at 1600 degrees Celsius within the coupler furnace, the problem we have, as soon as it hits the spinners in the curing oven, it's going to solidify and it's going to start blocking the holes, which is going to offer issues of obviously density. The fibre is not obviously going to penetrate the spinners, and these spinners cost an extra £50,000. So to chuck obviously any chicken wire in there is a very expensive mistake to make. So designing out risk, what we say is always, anyone who get involved with specifying, any contractors, they always ask for the declaration of performance. Declaration of performance, that's obviously going to list its behaviour within fire, so Euroclass rating. It's also going to list its lander being tested with respect of 90-90 lander, so 90% of the product will achieve 90% of its lander thermal conductivity. So we always say ask for the declaration of performance. We also have obviously third party approvals such as BBA, LPC, LPCB, of course, that's already available in respect of rain screen facade. One of the things we like to shout about, probably not too much, is the very fact that we have London Underground approval. So you can imagine there's only certain insulants that London Underground actually want down there in the stations. And Rockwool is one of them. There is no other insulation which has got LUL approval out there in the marketplace apart from Rockwool. And again, that's going back because of its behaviour within fire. So fire safety compliance. What you see there is a typical SFS. So you've got, obviously, your steel frame. Oh, we always say put something there within the steel frame. It's going to help acoustically. Obviously, it's going to help in respect of its behaviour within fire as well. There, as I mentioned before, which you did not see on those pictures at Grenfell, fixed back to the substrate. So you've obviously impaled there on your L brackets, you've got the pigtail screws there holding the intermescent strip, that will expand of course, cutting off this ventilated gap here, and you've got your helping hand bracket there. When I talked before about the deviation in respect to field tested application, that's what I was referring to. Even as pedantic as that, even a slight change in the helping hand bracket will mean you then have to go back to, and obviously undertake another field test of application. Then of course you've got your stonewall rain screen dual slab. So there about the rain screen dual slab and the benefits, it's that inner leaf there which has got a less dense. So majority of the actual product is 135 kilograms per cubic metre. The inner leaf is approximately 80 kilograms per cubic metre, again, to absorb some of those undulations on the substrate. That's the most recent statement coming out of Zurich, that was this year. So where there's a lightweight wall construction, then non-combustible insulation will generally be required. Also for this type of construction, additional cavity barriers will be required. So we're talking VRBs, horizontal, vertical cavity fire barriers. And as I said to you, obviously it's in their interest to mitigate a lot of this loss that they're facing. So checklist to compliance, you've got option one. So that is the least passage of resistance. So A1 non-combustible or A2, which is of course limited combustibility. You then got option two, which has a proposed system. As I said, any deviation from that proposed system, that tested system, will mean then you have to go back and undertake a field of application test. Desktop study, I think it's right to say we're probably going to see considerably less of that going forward from some of the insulation manufacturers. We don't have to offer that, of course, because our product is an A1 non-combustible product, so we don't have to undertake any desktop studies. And then, of course, option four, holistic fire engineered approach. Additional credentials, third-party approval, declaration of performance, warranty. Is the product actually warranted for exposure on site? And also its thermal capability as well. So hopefully you've gained a little bit of an insight there in respect of 18 metres and the rule. You know now why the number 18 has come about. It's because it's deemed the safe height to tackle a fire from the street level up to parapet. History on the BR135, awareness of the Euroclass system, as I said, it'd be great to see it enforced here in the UK in respect of the A1 right down to F. Considering of risk management and also the various routes to compliance. And also bear in mind, as I mentioned, the input that a lot of these insurance companies are having because they are getting quite vocal now. Any questions? Or do you want to leave that till, do you want to leave that till after, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, no problem. Right, I'll, thank you. I'll bring on the Jenny.